Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The three predominators, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, are worshipable by all living entities. And the fourth principle, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, is to be understood as their worshipper. Please repeat the three predominators, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, are worshipable by all living entities. And the fourth principle, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, is to be understood as their worshipper. Purport. In his Anubhasya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the truth about the Panchan Tattva. Explains that we should understand that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme predominator, and that Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu are his subordinates, but also are predominators. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu are manifestations of the Supreme Lord. All of them are Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme, and therefore worshipable by all living entities. Although the other two tattvas within the category of Pancha Tattva, namely Shakti Tattva and Jiva Tattva, represented by Gadadhar and Srivas, are worshippers of the Supreme Lord, they are in the same category because they eternally engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stavditam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadatika Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Asadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this knowledge that's being explained here is the PhD of spiritual understanding. It's not easy to understand, nor is the requirements, nor is the one can understand it simply by intellectual approach. One has to understand this knowledge through the process of bhakti. In giving us this wonderful work called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the ecstasies of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, describing the life and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada said that we should approach this scripture by reading this chapter first. This is chapter 7, it's not chapter 1. So you don't usually start a work with chapter 7, you usually go from chapter 1. But Prabhupada not only said that, but had a special book printed simply on this chapter called The Five Features of Lord Chaitanya. Because he wanted us to study this chapter very carefully, because it's really the essence of spiritual, philosophical knowledge of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And here, what is being described is the absolute truth, but in a way that has to be understood in relationship to both worshipping and worshipper. There's a verse from the previous section of this chapter, Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avatar Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shakti Kam. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who has manifested himself in five as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So this is the, what we say, the tattva. Tattva means philosophical truths that are the basis of a teaching of a particular aspect of spiritual knowledge. You got that? I don't know if I got it. But anyway, the point is being made here is that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. And he has appeared in five manifestations of himself, which are different and non-different. How do we understand something that is both different and non-different simultaneously? Now, in a relative sense, you can understand that. So, like, there are, everyone is a human being, but there are different human beings. So there's difference and non-difference. The oneness is that everyone's a human, and at the same time, the difference is that everyone's a different human being. So one and different. That's material. But absolute relative or absolute principle of non-difference and difference is there's no difference between the difference and the non-difference simultaneously. So how do we understand that? You can't. Therefore, the word achintya is placed before to say that it's inconceivable. One cannot understand difference and non-difference simply by philosophical understanding. It is revealed through the process of devotional service. There's one beautiful verse which says when Krishna wants, he reveals the knowledge of himself into the heart of the devotee by direct, just like when Lord Brahma was meditating on Lord Krishna for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years of meditation and deep prayers and great austerities, finally Krishna appeared in his heart and revealed everything to him. Who he was, what was his service, what is this creation, who Krishna was, everything. Krishna revealed the whole absolute truth directly within the heart of Brahma after Brahma's great austerities. But it wasn't until he performed these austerities. Before then, he appeared from the lotus. He is called Aja. He's directly born from the body of the Lord. He's called Ajam or Atmabhu. That means he has no mother. He only has a father. Or his mother and father is God. That's Brahma. So when he appeared from the body of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, he looked around, and what did he see? He didn't hear that, that's for sure. There was no, the cell phones had not yet been created by Krishna at that time. But he heard tapa, the sound tapa, which means austerity. Not only was it said once, it was said twice. Tapa, tapa, two times, very powerfully with a gap in between. Because after he heard it, he was wondering, tapa, and then he heard it again. Then he understood, before I can understand, he understood, before I can understand, I have to perform austerities. And so he did. And he went into deep meditation and started offering beautiful prayers to the Lord within his heart. And Krishna revealed everything within his heart. And then ultimately he became what is called the creator of the universe by the empowerment of Krishna directly. And then, of course, we have the Brahma Samhita prayers are given by Lord Brahma. And that those prayers, Brahma Samhita prayers, when Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India, he stopped at one temple called the Adi Keshava Temple. And in that temple, he found a copy of these prayers, the Brahma Samhita prayers, which had been lost at that time. No one knew where these prayers were. And there are so many chapters of the Brahma Samhita prayers. We have one chapter. That's all. That's the only one that was still existing. The fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita, which we chant in the morning when the deities open. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham bhajami venon kantata ravindadalaya daksam Bhardhavatam samasitam buddha sungarangam Gandharpakochitam haniyayishesha sova Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Such a deep prayer of bhakti. We hear it every day, and maybe we just somehow go through it, but it's so deep in describing the glories of Lord Krishna. That when Lord Chaitanya found these prayers, he became ecstatic. And he actually made a copy of these prayers, and he carried them with him all the way back to Puri to show his devotees, these are the best of all prayers. Govind, these prayers by Lord Brahma, from the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita. So, how did he get that knowledge? Through austerity. So to understand transcendental knowledge, one has to perform austerity. What is the austerity in this age? One has to chant Hare Krishna. That is the austerity in this age. Yajnai sankirtana praya yajanti hi sumedasaha. That yajna, and there are so many types of yajnas, there's so many types of vratas, there's so many types of homas, there's so many types of pujas mentioned in the scriptures. And one can perform all of these and simply get a little bit of what we say spiritual elevation by all of these. But if one performs the Sankirtan yajna, chanting and dancing, in congregation with other devotees, one is performing the highest form of yajna, and the only necessary yajna in this age. That's the only yajna. Sometimes people see, what are these people doing, jumping up and down and singing like crazy people? But actually, this is the highest form of worship. There's nothing higher when it's done in a mood, in the proper mood, of course. The mood is important also. Because if we just do it without mindlessly or just doing it as a a ceremony that's very nice and fun to do, we miss the point. It's actually an expression of love, the highest form of expression. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach that. And that's the yajna in this age. So he came with four other associates. He is called Panchatattva become Krishnam Bhakta Rupa. He is Bhakta Rupa. He is the form of devotee. Sarupakam, that is Nityananda. He is the form of the devotee manifested as the spiritual master. Bhakta Avatar, that is Advaita Acharya. He is the manifestation of the Bhakta who comes as the Supreme Lord to teach religious principles by preaching the glories of the Lord. He's the one that actually brought Lord Chaitanya to the earth by his prayers and by his austerities. Bhakta Avatar. And Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shakti Kam. And then there's Gadadhar, who is actually Srimati Radharani. But in a different mood. A different mood. Radharani's mood in Vrindavan, she is a left-wing gopi. A left-wing gopi means that she very, very rarely listens to Krishna. She worships Krishna according to her own loving mood. It's not that she disobeys Krishna, but you have to understand the mellows of love. That she loves Krishna in such a way that Krishna has to sometimes perform austerities to get that love. There's a beautiful story in that relationship how Radharani rejected Krishna. You want to hear the story? Yeah, it's nice, actually. So one day, Radharani was waiting for Krishna. And Krishna just wasn't coming. So Radharani's constant companion is Lalita. She said, Lalita, I'm supposed to meet Kanai. He's not here. Why don't you go see what happened? So Lalita, she's very sharp in very many ways. And so she went, and she knew where Krishna was. He was at Rasastali. Not very good. He was with Chandravali's group of right-wing devotees, and one of the gopis were there. So Lalita caught Krishna with another gopi. What are you doing? Radharani's waiting for you. He started chastising him. Then she left. Then she told Radharani what happened. And Radharani got really angry. And she said, I don't want nothing to do with that personality anymore. So she has a blue sari. She stopped wearing the blue sari because it reminded her of Krishna. She didn't want to see the Jamuna anymore because the river is blue. And she has a blue bird cage. She threw it away. So anything blue, she threw away, got rid of. But Krishna was thinking, oh boy, I made a mistake. I got to get Radharani's favor back. But Krishna, Radharani wouldn't talk to her. She wouldn't talk to him at all. She completely rejected him. And Krishna was thinking, now what am I going to do? Radharani is angry with me. She won't talk to me. She won't be with me. Because no one can satisfy Krishna as much as Radharani. Everyone can satisfy Krishna, but one can only but Radharani's love is perfect. And only Krishna is fully satisfied by Radha's bhakta. Therefore, if you want Krishna's mercy, you got to get Radharani's mercy. But if you want to get Radharani's mercy, you got to chant Hare Krishna. In other words, you have to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because he's Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. The two have become one in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna, not knowing what to do, thinking, what I should do to get Radharani's attention back, he went to the CEO of Vrindavan, who is Tulsi Devi. She's in charge of making all the arrangements for all the gopis to meet Krishna. They meet at Vrindakun in the morning, and she gives out different services. She has her assistants, and she tells them to do this and meet Krishna here and go here, and gives all the gopis different service. So Krishna presented his problem before Tulsi Devi. And Tulsi Devi said, this is a problem. But you should disguise yourself as a fortune teller, a lady fortune teller, and dress up with a sari, and we'll make you look just like another gopi. And then you can go to Radharani, and we'll introduce you as a very important fortune teller, and that Radharani needs to know her fortune, or her future fortune. And so the gopis were talking to Radha, and they were telling him, this wonderful fortune teller. She's really the best of all fortune tellers. So you should definitely hear your fortune from this person. So Radha said, okay. And so Krishna came disguised as the lady. You can see a picture. It's actually a painting of this Leela. And he's looking at her hand, he's sitting at her feet and looking at her feet and looking at her hand and saying, then finally he says, actually, your best fortune would be to go back with Krishna. Oh, Radharani was like, no. Get out of here, you're a bogus fortune teller. Where did you get this lady from? She doesn't know anything about fortune. So it didn't work. So Krishna went back to Tulsi Devi and said, I thought you knew what you were doing. It just didn't work. So finally, Tulsi came up with another plan. You dress yourself up as a sannyasi, and you go beg alms from Radha. She's very inclined to sannyasis. When Dvarasa Muni came, she very nicely worshipped Dvarasa Muni, and Dvarasa Muni blessed Radharani that anything she cooks would taste sweet. Of course, she doesn't need Dvarasa Muni's blessing. But anyway, she accepted it as the way to show mercy to this sadhu who came. And there were so many other wonderful pastimes with Durvasa Muni and the gopis. And so, Krishna dressed up as a sannyasi. And Radha was there with her gopi friends. And the gopi friends said, "Oh, here comes a sannyasi." And Radha said, "Oh, really, a sannyasi? Let's go see." So Krishna's dressed up as a sannyasi and he starts to, you know, "Oh, I'm so hungry." Nowadays, sannyasis don't starve, but anyway. In fact, it's a problem. Sometimes you get too many nice prasad. Anyway, so Krishna's coming, and he's saying, "Oh, Mataji, I come to beg some alms." She said, "Oh, yes, yes, you're a sannyasi. Whatever you want, just ask, we will give. We have so many nice things, fruits, flowers, and all kinds of wonderful edibles." He said, "No, I come to beg something else." She said, whatever it is, please, we will try to fulfill your desire. There's this person called Krishna, and he's feeling very unhappy without you." And Radha became quiet. And she thought, "Okay, I'll forgive him. I can't refuse a sannyasi." So try to remember that. No, you can forget that. So, and then the pastime, of course, she acknowledged that petition, and then Krishna later revealed himself as Krishna. So, you know, Radharani, she sometimes get angry at Krishna. So Gadadhar Pandit is actually Radharani, but she's in a different mood. Very submissive to Lord Chaitanya. Extremely submissive. Whatever Lord Chaitanya said, Gadadhar Pandit did. In fact, Gadadhar Pandit could never leave Lord Chaitanya's side. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit did the same thing and followed Lord Chaitanya to Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya gave him his own personal deity he was worshipping called Gopinath. And that deity became the worshipful deity of Gadadhar Pandit. And today you can go. There's a temple called Tota Gopinath. And that was the deity that was worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit, that was given to Gadadhar Pandit by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Beautiful deity. In fact, that to show, Lord Chaitanya wanted to show his love for Gadadhar Pandit, that when he disappeared from the world, he went into the body of that deity. And there's a mark, I'm not sure on which leg it is, right or left leg. There's a mark that the pujari showed you, that this is where Lord Chaitanya went into the body of the deity. And that deity formerly used to stand up as a Krishna deity, you know, holding a flute and standing very tall. He was a very tall deity. Now the deity sits down. The same deity is sitting down. Because one day when Gadadhar Pandit was trying to dress Gopinath, he was unable to take the crown and put it on Gopinath's head because his body was feeling the effects of old age. Lord Chaitanya had left the planet at that time, and Gadadhar was aging, it said, 1 year every day. Imagine, each day you get 1 year of bodily deterioration because of separation from Lord Chaitanya. His love for Lord Chaitanya was so deep that he could not live. And so his body was getting old. He was the same age as Lord Chaitanya. They were born only a few months apart. And Lord Chaitanya left the world at the age of 48 years old. So he wasn't old. Gadadhar Pandit was trying to put the crown on the head of Gopinath, which he did every day. And this day he couldn't pick up the crown because his body was feeling so tired and old. So what Gopinath did, he sat down. The deity sat down so he could dress him nicely. And to this day, he's still sitting. The same deity there. So that was the deity given by Lord Chaitanya, worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit, as mentioned here, he is Shakti Tattva. That means he's the energy of the Lord. He worships the Lord, but still he's the Lord. This is the philosophical understand. He's the Lord, but at the same time, he's not the Lord. Same with these five: Panchatattva Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avatar Bhakta Kim Namami Bhakti Shakti. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta. They're one, but they're different. Jai Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Nityananda Ram Ki Jai. They're one and different. Lord Prabhupada says the Panchatattva have come in five forms. God has come in five forms to teach the Mayavadis, not only am I a person, but I'm five people. Because their understanding is God is impersonal. And our understanding is God is impersonal, but also personal. And his impersonal aspect is a manifestation of his personality. It's the energy. But at the same time, the Mayavadis think that the forms of the Lord are simply imagination and created only for the need of worship. But beyond the forms, there is no form. It's just formless. And formless is ultimately the highest principle of what we say spiritual attainment, to merge into the formless and become nothing. The goal is to become nothing. Anybody here want to become nothing? I mean, people who commit suicide, they're like that, right? If you're miserable and you think, well, let me just get rid of my misery. The misery becomes so great sometimes. Sometimes people suffer so much mentally. People don't commit suicide for physical ailments. Usually it's mentally. When their minds are just so overwhelmed with depression and anxiety and they can't find a way out of it, and people have tried to help, and they think, all right, let me just commit suicide. It doesn't make any sense to go on. So that's basically the spiritual understanding of Mayavad. They want to commit suicide. They want to annihilate their existence. That way they don't have to suffer materially. But devotee wants to stop material activities and begin spiritual activities, where then those activities are perfect or joyful. We're meant to perform spiritual activities. So the Mayavadis, they can't understand that God is a person, nor can they understand the nature of worship. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they worship themselves. Om Namo Narayan, right? They address each other as Narayan, right? You're Narayan, I'm Narayan, he's a Bhagavad Narayan, he's Dridhar Narayan, right? Poor Narayan, rich Narayan, this Narayan, that Narayan, Narayan, right? Everybody's Narayan. Even the doctor's Narayan, right? When they get sick, they go to Narayan doctor. Narayan needs a doctor, and he goes to another Narayan. So if you go into their philosophy, it's more like, to use a nice word, philosophy. It has no basis in reality. It's not really sound. So here, it's important to understand this, because what is being said here is the nature of the absolute truth. That God is a person and he manifests himself in different forms. Why? To enjoy transcendental leelas. God comes to this world for our benefit. But ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to experience his own ecstasies as a devotee. That's the real reason Lord Chaitanya came. Not real, but primary reason. The secondary reason was to spread the Sankirtan movement. That's secondary. His primary reason is an internal mood, and it says that it just so happened that when the Lord wanted to experience his internal mood of loving relationships between Radharani and Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, it so happened that simultaneously it was time for the Sankirtan movement. Coincidental. That's what it's described in the fourth chapter of this same work here, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada gave us these books. He wanted us to study. And he wanted to us to understand the importance of Lord Chaitanya. If you want to approach Krishna in this age, you have to approach Krishna through Lord Chaitanya. There's no other way. You can't approach Krishna directly in this age. Because that same Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya. There's no difference between Gokulananda and Lord Chaitanya. But to approach Gokulananda, you have to approach Gokulananda through Lord Chaitanya. That is the only way you can approach the deep. Sometimes devotees tell me, you know, of course we see on Janmashtami, tens and thousands of people come on Ram Navami, but on Gaur Purnima, not so many people come. Therefore, we should educate the congregation to understand that the basis of all knowledge about Krishna is given by Lord Chaitanya. He's the process for understanding for Radha and Krishna. So, he's not a Bengali either. He appeared in Bengali. God is not Bengali, nor is he Indian, or is he whatever else you want to put on his... He's God, but he appears in a particular place just to purify that place and to perform his pastimes there. That's his own, what we say, discretion. God has likes and dislikes also. So it's not that we worship a Bengali God and then we worship a Brijabasi God. It's the same God, but they're neither Brijabasis or Bengalis. The point is that to understand Krishna, we have to understand Lord Chaitanya. And these teachings are the basis, especially the Panchatattva, that there is God, there's the manifestation of God in the form of the spiritual master, the avatar of God, the energy of God, and the pure devotee. And who is Srivas? He's mentioned also here as Jiva Tattva. He's Jiva Tattva, but still he's in the he's with the Panchatattva as the absolute truth also, because the absolute truth also contains Jiva. The absolute truth is both Shakti, not both, but includes Shakti Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Vishnu Tattva. This is the complete manifestation of the absolute truth. And Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni. When the devotees were having a play in the house of Chandrasekhar, Srivas Thakur played the role of Narada Muni. They were doing the leelas, right? And everybody was saying, wow, he really plays that part really good. I can't even see the difference between Srivas and Narada. He is Narada. So he knows the role. It's not a role anymore. Just like when Lord Nityananda was a little boy, he was acting his pastimes in Ekachakragram and playing as various manifestations of himself, as Balaram and as Lakshman, like that. And everybody's saying, wow, look at little Nittai. He knows these leelas. And they asked him, how do you know these leelas? He said, these are my leelas. These are my leelas. This is what I do at other times. Now I'm in this form. So, you know, for the Mayavadis, they can't understand that. For the materialists, they can't even begin to understand that. But the devotees were trying to understand how the forms are different and non-different at the same time. So we may be attracted to one particular type of form of the Lord, but it's mentioned that one should not, what we say, disregard the other forms as unimportant. One may worship God in a particular form, and that's one's, what we say, spiritual nature. One may be attracted to Ram more than Krishna, or Krishna more than Ram, or whatever. But all of the forms are absolute, and all of the forms are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the forms are worshipable in the absolute sense. But for us, for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we're followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to understand the nature of Vrindavan through Lord Chaitanya. If you want to get to Vrindavan, you have to approach Lord Chaitanya. Bhakti Charu Maharaj was making this point when we went on the boat trip. He was giving this class. He was saying that Krishna is, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. So if you want to worship Krishna in this age, you have to worship Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. He's Radha and Krishna, but he's come in the form of a devotee in order to teach the process of worship in this age. And what is that process? Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishna Sangopanga Saparshana Yagya Sankirtana Prayaya Jantihi Sumedasa Kalera Dosha Nidhi Rajan Asti Echo Mahagun Kirtana Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Parambaja. The essence of all spiritual practices is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We have to become greedy for chanting. Not like, oh boy, it's another day, 16 rounds to go. I just can't wait till I can done so I can really do the important part of my day. No, it's the most important part of the day is the chanting. So we look forward to japa, we look forward to kirtan. But Prabhupada writes in this chapter, this is an important point, so please listen to this point. When you chant Hare Krishna, you can commit offenses. You can commit offenses. But if you chant Panchatattva, there's no offenses. So therefore, he says, before you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you should always chant the Panchatattva mantra. So therefore, before, when we begin our chanting every day, we always say, Jai Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shiva, Siddhi, Gaur, Bhaktivi. And by the mercy of the Panchatattva, who are the supreme manifestations of all mercy, one can approach the holy name like that. Sometimes, Prabhupada actually mentions in one place, if people are too sinful and can't take to the process of Krishna consciousness, don't teach him to chant Hare Krishna, teach him to chant the Panchatattva mantra. And after doing that for some time, they will be able to approach the holy name. There's one section in that. Sometimes, like, I preach in prisons, and sometimes some of these people that we come in contact with, you know, they're more like McGrary the hunter, you know. So, before he met Narada Muni. So we're trying to also get them to chant Hare Krishna. Or maybe they're more like, what was his name? The one who meditated 60,000 years. Valmiki, before he was a Muni, he was a murderer. He was Valmiki murderer, not Valmiki Muni. And he met Narada Muni, and Narada preached to him, and he said, chant the names of Ram. He couldn't do it. He couldn't put Ram's name on his tongue. He was too sinful. The name wouldn't manifest. So Narada Muni, being very intelligent, told him, all right, chant Mara. Mara means death. He's been doing that since he's been around anyway. He's been causing other people to die. So Mara, 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 Mara. So he chanted Mara enough, and he became Ram. And then he chanted Ram, and then he became purified, and he became a Muni. Think about it. What is our position? We're not as bad as Valmiki Muni. Anybody here? No. I don't think you wouldn't be here if you were, no. But you know, this movement attracts everybody these days. They like our movement, mostly because of Prashad. But you know, so we have a good start, at least in spiritual life. But if we really want to approach Krishna. And that's the goal. The goal is to develop our love for Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, we have to approach Krishna through Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, if we read the prayers of Prabodhananda Saraswati, Prabodhananda Saraswati was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He met Lord Chaitanya in South India when Lord Chaitanya traveled and stayed at the house of his brother, Venkata Bhatt. His brother was, you know, the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was Gopal at the time. But that Prabodhananda Saraswati was a great pundit in the Sri Sampradaya. But when he met Lord Chaitanya, he practically gave up his practice and became a follower of Lord Chaitanya. And if you read his prayers now, he just glorifies Lord Chaitanya above all the other incarnations. He says, basically, it's in the mood of ecstasy. He says, don't tell me about, you know, Varaha or Matsya Korma. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about Gauranga. That's all. Just Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. He's just so attached to Lord Chaitanya that nothing else matters. So his prayers illustrate such deep bhakti of Lord Chaitanya. And if you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you get the mercy of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya introduces you to the Vrindavan. So our Gaur Purnima festival here, I think people should be educated that really it's the most important part. Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said, our most important day is Gaudiya Vaishnava, is the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. Not Krishna, but Lord Chaitanya. So hopefully people will understand the importance of worshipping, honoring, and practicing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya is Karuna Avatar. He's merciful. You know, you stand before Krishna and you're standing there and you're maybe offering prayers and Krishna's maybe busy talking to Radharani. He doesn't even pay attention to you. Well, who's this guy anyway? What does he want? But if you're in front of Lord Chaitanya, anybody who comes in front of Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, very inclined. So it's very hard to approach Krishna in this age. Very difficult. But therefore, it's become difficult because Krishna knows if you want to approach me, you have to approach me in my manifestation as Lord Chaitanya, as Lord Nityananda, Gaur Nittai. So we practice the process given by Lord Chaitanya, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And what was his other main practice? Serve the devotees. Serve Vaishnavas. I think we all know that. And everyone has that mood. How to serve. How to serve others. But that's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. You want to approach God, you have to approach God by serving his devotees. So, there's three principles. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes it in the song. He says, Namruchi, a taste. Develop a taste for the holy name. Sweet taste. Practice chanting as much as possible. But that taste won't develop until you also do Vaishnav Seva. Because without Vaishnav Seva, Namaruchi will not develop. Therefore, in one sense, Vaishnav Seva is more important than Namaruchi. How important it is to serve Vaishnavas. And the last one is Jivadoya. Jivadoya means preaching. To give this mercy to others who are unfortunate. As Lord Chaitanya said, make the unfortunate fortunate. As you were one time unfortunate and now have become fortunate, also give that same fortune to others. That means somehow become an instrument of Lord Chaitanya's mercy for others. And if you preach, or you put yourself in a position of being a carrier of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. I don't want to use the word preaching because that has a certain connotation. In other words, being somehow or other, take whatever Lord Chaitanya has given you and give it to others in whatever way you can, whether it's your friends, family members, or people in general. And those three things make up the process of Lord Chaitanya. Serve Vaishnavas, chant Hare Krishna, and like that. And we do other things, but all these other things, whatever else we do, we go to festivals, we go to holy places, we do different kinds of worship and pujas, we chant different kind of prayers. They're all meant to increase our attachment to chanting. Because when you're chanting the holy names of the Lord, you're on the highest platform of spiritual practice. Krishna's name is Krishna. Binna nama chintamani Krishnas chaitanya rasa vigraha purna sudyo nitya mukta binna tvam nami namino.